Our text this morning is Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 verses 6 to 20. Matthew chapter 7 verses 6 to 20. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. In our study of the Sermon on the Mount, we've been looking at the three major principles that our Lord Jesus has given us to understand and to live by. And we have been studying these three principles. The first principle being the principle of true righteousness, which we found in Matthew chapter 5. Then the principle of true worship in Matthew chapter 6. And then the principle of true judgment in Matthew chapter 7. In our previous studies, we have looked at Matthew chapter 5, which speaks about true righteousness. We also looked into Matthew chapter 6, in which we saw that true righteousness is expressed in true worship, which involves every aspect of our lives. And last week we began our study in Matthew chapter 7, which speaks about true judgment. Matthew chapter 7. The scribes and Pharisees were guilty of exercising a false judgment. They exercised a false judgment about themselves and about other people, and even about the Lord Jesus. Their false righteousness helped to encourage this false judgment. And this explains why our Lord Jesus closed this important sermon with the subject of judgment. And in it, he discussed three different judgments. Number one, our judgment of ourselves in Matthew chapter 7 verses 1 to 5. Then our judgment of others in Matthew chapter 7 verses 6 to 20. And then God's judgment of us, Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 to 29. We looked at verses 1 to 5 last week, and today we will look at our judgment of others in Matthew chapter 7 verses 6 to 20, which was the text that I just read to you this morning. Christians must exercise discernment, because not everyone is a sheep. Some people are dogs or hogs, and some are wolves in sheep's clothing. And Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 7 verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Believers in Christ are the Lord's sheep. But this does not mean that we should let people pull the wool over our eyes. First, the Lord Jesus gives us the reason why we should judge others. The reason we must judge others is given in Matthew chapter 7 verse 6. And this judgment spoken of here, by the way, this judgment spoken of here is not a condemnation of others. This judgment is discernment. Matthew chapter 7 verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. As God's people, we are privileged to handle the holy things of the Lord. We've been entrusted with the precious truths of the Word of God and the glorious gospel of God, which is the power of God unto salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 13 to 15. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 20. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. So God has entrusted us with holy things. We are privileged to handle the holy things. So we must carefully and deeply regard the holy things that God has given us. No dedicated priest in God's temple in Jerusalem would throw meat from the altar to a filthy dog. And only a fool would give pearls to a pig. Yes, it is true that we must carry the gospel to the whole world. But it is also true that we must not cheapen the gospel by a ministry that lacks discernment. Remember, the Lord Jesus refused to talk to Herod. Luke chapter 23 verses 8 to 9. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The Apostle Paul, he refused to argue with people who resisted the word of God. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 verses 44 to 49. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.'" And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. The reason for our judgment of others, the reason for our judgment, our discernment of others, is not that we might condemn others, but that we might be able to minister to them. Notice that Jesus always dealt with individuals according to their needs. He dealt with them according to their needs individually and their spiritual condition individually. He did not have a memorized speech that he used with everybody. He discussed the new birth with Nicodemus, but he spoke of living water to the Samaritan woman. When the religious leaders tried to trap him, he refused to answer their question. Matthew chapter 21 verses 23 to 27. Matthew 21, 23 to 27. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And they discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So it is a wise Christian who first assesses the condition of a person's heart before sharing these precious pearls. Then Jesus speaks about the resources that God gives us to make the right judgment. God not only wants us to discern, to make the right judgment about others, but he also gives us the resources to do so. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Jesus speaks about prayer. But why? Why did our Lord discuss prayer at this point in his message? These verses seem to be an interruption, but they are not an interruption. You and I, we are human, we are fallible, we make mistakes. Only God can judge perfectly. So the Lord is telling us that we must pray and seek his wisdom and direction to make the right judgment. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him pray. James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Young Solomon knew that he lacked the needed wisdom to judge Israel. So he prayed to God. He was crowned king when he was young. So he knew he did not have the wisdom that was needed to judge Israel. So he cries out to God, and the Lord graciously answered Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 7 to 12. In that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said to God, you have shown great and steadfast love to David my father, and have made me king in his place. O Lord God, let your word to David my father be now fulfilled. For you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people, for who can govern this people of yours, which is so great? God answered Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for possessions, wealth, honor, or the life of those who hate you, and have not even asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may govern my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. I will also give you riches, possessions, and honor such as none of the kings had who were before you, and none after you shall have the like. So you see, we need wisdom. We need wisdom to live in this perverted, crooked, and twisted world. And the Holy Spirit is the giver of wisdom, and that is why we must ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We must ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we manifest godly wisdom. The parallel passage of Matthew chapter 7 verses 7 to 11 is found in Luke chapter 11 verses 9 to 13. And there we are told what to ask for. Luke chapter 11 verses 9 to 13. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So here we are told to ask for the Holy Spirit. As children of God, God wants to gift us. He wants to give us wisdom. And He wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We must ask the Lord to give us the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You see, as children of God, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. A seal signifies that a transaction has been completed. The very moment you and I are saved, God seals us by His Spirit. This sealing also implies ownership. God has put His seal on us because He has purchased us to be His own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 19 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 19 to 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Now this seal also means security and protection. The Romans put the seal on the tomb of Jesus to secure the tomb. Matthew chapter 27 verse 66. Matthew 27, 66. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. The believer in the Lord Jesus belongs to God and is safe and protected because he is a part of a finished transaction. According to John chapter 14 verses 16 to 17, the Holy Spirit abides with the believer forever. John 14 verses 16 to 17. And I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. It is possible for us to grieve the Holy Spirit and thereby lose the blessings of His ministry, but the Holy Spirit will never leave the believer in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit does not leave us when we sin, but we grieve the Holy Spirit when we sin. It is very important that every believer in Christ must continually thirst to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We hunger for the Word of God and we must thirst for the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. We as believers in Christ do not thirst for wine, but we thirst for the Holy Spirit. We must feel the thirst to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. We are aware of our own inadequacies and we are aware of our own helplessness in facing this wicked world. So we need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, all of which is the same. The fullness of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit are all the same. Day by day we must seek more and more of this fullness, because we know we are inadequate. We are helpless. We can't face this wicked world in our own strength. We need the empowering of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that He gives us to live with discernment in this world. The Messiah was filled with the Holy Spirit. Isaiah speaks prophetically about this almost 800 years before Jesus came into this world. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2. Isaiah 11 verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The Lord Jesus is willing to give us this fullness of the Holy Spirit if we ask Him. Christ has come to dwell in us through the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14 verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, and He will guide us into all truth, and He will empower us to do the will of God. He will unction us to speak. He will also tell us when not to speak. He will give us the much needed discernment for us to live in this wicked world. John 16 verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. So we must ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. John 7 verses 37 to 39. John chapter 7 verses 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So we come to him and we keep drinking of him, and he quenches our thirst and he gives us wisdom to live in a wicked and perilous environment, which is getting more and more perilous as the days go by. So we need, each one of us as believers in Christ, need the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, day by day, for all the tasks that God has given us to do, all that God has entrusted us to do, so that we may live the life that God wants us to live. If we are to have spiritual discernment, we must keep on asking God, keep on seeking His will, keep on knocking at the door, thirsting to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. And that will lead to a greater ministry. And the Lord will open doors of opportunity for us to minister to people. God meets the needs of His children. Then Jesus gives us the guiding principle. He gives us the guiding principle. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This is the so-called golden rule, but it is one of the most misunderstood statements in the Bible. This golden rule is one of the most misunderstood statements in the Bible. This statement is not the sum total of Christian truth, neither is it God's plan of redemption. This great truth is a principle that should govern our attitudes toward others. That's why it is a guiding principle as to how we judge others. This truth applies to us believers, and it must be practiced in every area of life. The person who practices the golden rule refuses to say or do anything that would harm himself or others. I repeat, the person who practices the golden rule refuses to say or do anything that would harm himself or others. If our judging of others is not governed by this principle, we will become proud people. We will become critical. We will become judgmental. We will become legalistic. And our own spiritual character will degenerate. So practicing the golden rule is very important. Practicing the golden rule releases the love of God in our lives and enables us to help other people, even those who want to hurt us. As we practice the golden rule, we experience God's love being poured out into our hearts. So even when other people hurt us, God's love is poured out from our hearts to them. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The love of God is manifested in our lives. Zechariah chapter 7 verses 9 to 10. Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. And let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 17. Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. But remember that practicing the golden rule means paying a price. If we want God's best for ourselves and others, but others resist God's will, then they will oppose us. But we are salt, and salt stings the open wound. So when we live the way that God wants us to live, guided by the Holy Spirit, according to the golden rule, it is costly. We are light, and light exposes dirt. So when you practice the golden rule, you would have to get ready to face trouble and even persecution. The Christian life is not easy. The only one who can live the Christian life is the Lord Jesus Christ. The amazing fact is that Christ has come to live in and through you and me because we have been born of God. Letting Christ live through us is the secret of the Christian life. He equips us to do so by giving us His Word and the Holy Spirit. He lives through us by His Spirit. So He gives us His Word and He has given us His Spirit. And when you live in step with the Holy Spirit, others will see Jesus Christ living in you, and God's name will be honored in and through your life, and God's people will be edified. Then Jesus gives us the basis of judging others. The basis of judging others. Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 to 20. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Since there are false prophets in the world, we must be careful of deception. But the greatest danger is self-deception. The scribes and the Pharisees had fooled themselves into believing that they were righteous and others were sinful. It is possible for people to know the right language, believe intellectually the right doctrines, obey the right rules, and still not be saved. Jesus used two pictures to help us judge ourselves and others. He gave us the picture of the two ways. Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 to 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. These two ways are the way to heaven and the way to hell. The broad way is the easy way. It is the popular way that leads to hell. We must not judge spiritual profession by statistics. The majority is not always right. The fact that everybody does it, or the fact that everybody likes it, is no proof that what they are doing is right. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. It is sad that the majority of the world are on this broad road to destruction. Now, how does this message apply to us believers? As believers, we are witnesses of Christ. We are involved in ministry. And people involved in ministry, especially through social media, we must beware of a great danger. You can tailor your message to become popular with the masses. You may get a lot of likes and thumbs up, thumbs up emojis. Isn't that what you call it? Likes and, thumbs up emojis. But you need to ask yourself the question, is God really pleased with what I am doing? Or am I trying to please people? Is the message we convey true? Or is it compromised to reach the masses? God's people have always been a remnant. a small minority in this world. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. The reason is not difficult to discover. The way of life is narrow. It is lonely. It is costly. We can walk on the broad way and keep our baggage of sin and worldliness. But if we enter the narrow way, we must give up those things. We can't be traveling on two roads at the same time. That's a delusion. Here is the first test. Did your profession of faith in Christ cost you anything? If not, then it was not a true profession. Many people who trust Jesus Christ never leave the broad road with its appetites and with its associations. They entangle themselves with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they think that by professing faith in Christ, they are saved. So many people who trust Jesus Christ actually never leave the broad road with its passions. They have an easy Christianity that makes no demands on them. Yet Jesus said that the narrow way was hard. So you see, we cannot walk on two roads nor in two different directions at the same time. The second picture Jesus gives us to help us judge others is the picture of the two trees. So two ways, two trees. Matthew chapter 7 verses 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So true faith in Christ will transform the person. True faith in Christ changes a person's life and produces fruit for God's glory. So if that fruit is not seen, then it is not a good tree. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Everything in nature reproduces after its kind. And this is also true in the spiritual realm. Good fruit comes from a good tree, but bad fruit comes from a bad tree. The tree that produces rotten fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Matthew chapter 7 verse 20. The second test is this. Did my decision for Christ change my life? False prophets who teach false doctrine can produce only a false righteousness. Acts chapter 20 verses 29 to 31. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. So we need to hold on to God's word and test every form of teaching with the word of God. Acts chapter 20 verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So we must be like the Bereans who checked everything the apostle Paul taught with the scriptures. They checked everything that the apostle said. How? With the scriptures. The scripture commends them for what they did. Acts chapter 17 verses 10 to 11. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. We must also check on the lifestyle of these false teachers and prophets. Their fruit, the results of their ministry, is false. It cannot last. the prophets themselves are false. The closer we get to them, the more we see the falsity of their lives and their doctrines. They magnify themselves, not Jesus Christ. They don't exalt Christ. And their purpose is to exploit people, not to edify people, not to build up people. The person who believes false doctrine or who follows a false prophet will never experience a changed life. So either a person is on the broad way or he's on the narrow way. Either the tree is good and the fruit is good, or the tree is bad and the fruit is bad. Now, unfortunately, some people do not realize this until it is too late. The person who believes false doctrine or who follows a false prophet will never experience a changed life. And it is sad that some people do not realize this until it is too late. But God rewards sincere seekers. Everyone who sincerely searches for truth will come to the knowledge of God in Christ and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Such a seeker will know the truth, and that person will be set free. John chapter 8 verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's bow our heads in prayer.